Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is Sadi. We are on Pei Tesamud Beis. We are approaching the Bam the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Chatos Kodemes. Mishnah yesterday, the opening of the 10th Perek, taught us two basic rules in terms of establishing priority and which one comes first. I have this picture in my head of a lion headed towards the Mizbeach with the Kohanim with Karbanos in their hands, and each one of them claiming that theirs is really important and it's got to go on the Mizbeach. They're all right. But in other words, what is going to be the guidelines in terms of establishing priority and which one goes first? And this is not only by individual Karbanos, it's also by Karban Tzibur as well. So the Mishnah gave us two principles. So the first principle we learned in yesterday's daf was Tadirus, frequency. The one that's more frequent is the one that gains priority. Call a Tadir Mechaver or Kodem Mechaver. Anything that is more frequent is therefore going to come first. It's going to take precedence. The perfect example to that, well, not perfect, we talked about it yesterday, but the primary example to that is the Tamid Shel Shachar, the daily Tamid, which obviously by definition is daily, as opposed to a Karban Musaf. A Karban Musaf is occasional. Even Shabbos is occasional. It's once a week. So the Tamid comes before any Musaf. And even as you're offering the Musafim, if there are, let's say, multiple Musafim that are brought, Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos coincide with one another. So now there's a Musaf for Shabbos and a Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, Shabbos is more frequent, so therefore, the Musaf of Shabbos comes before the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So that's one rule. And the second principle we learned in yesterday's daf was that of Kedusha. Kol ha-mekudesh mechaver, anything that is more Kedusha, kodem mechaver is going to come first. So when I have two karbanos and I now have a chance to gauge which one has more Kedusha, so the one with more Kedusha is going to come before the one that has less Kedusha. Tough rule to implement which carbon has more kedusha than which carbon, but thankfully the Mishnah afforded us yesterday the opportunity to see which one has more. The Mishnah went through almost all scenarios in which we basically weighed one carbon against another carbon, and the Mishnah taught us which carbonos have more kedusha based on the rules of the carbonos. Kadosh kadashim obviously have more kedusha than kachim kalim, and And so the Mishnah treated us to some of the basic rules. And yesterday's daf on Pei Tesamud Beis, we explored three scenarios that were not discussed in the Mishnah, and on all three of them, the Gemara came out inconclusive. It wasn't really clear from the Mishnah whether or not one would come in front of the other. We are now towards about two-thirds down on the Amud on Pei Tesamud Beis, Chatas Kodemes. So we are now just basically going to cover the rest of the Mishnah and make some observations as far as other points of the Mishnah. Chatas comes before an Asham, that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Adraba Asham Kadim Shekhen Yeshlo Kitzva. So the Gemara says, I can make an argument that the Asham should come first because the Asham has a spending floor. In other words, when it comes to a carbon in general, how much money should I spend on a carbon? The answer is very simple, however it costs. In other words, I go to the local farm, I buy an animal, and whatever the going price is, regardless of whether it is expensive or not, that's how much a carbon is going to cost. When it comes to a carbon asham, based on the Gzeres HaKasav, so the Torah says that the carbon asham has to be a base amount of shtei shkalim. So in other words, by carbon asham, it has a unique aspect in that the Torah actually mandates the minimum I have to spend for it. So the Gemara now is suggesting that because of that, it should therefore have more Kedusha. To which the Gemara answers very simply, afilu hachi ribu de mizbeach adif. Okay, you're right. But as far as the Chatzos is concerned, there is still hazaos on all four corners of the chatas that goes on the mizbeach, as opposed to the asham, which only hits two of the four corners. And so therefore, ultimately, the chatas is more kedusha. Asham kodem l'todah, we continue now along the Mishnah. The asham comes before the todah, adraba todah ve'el nazir kadmi shekhen tunan lechem. How do you put the asham in front of the todah? Isn't the Toda and the El Nazir, doesn't it have bread accompanying it? And doesn't that speak to the idea that it has more Kedusha? Afilo hachi kachi kadasha madifa. To which the Gemara says, when all said and done, ultimately Asham is still categorically under Kodesh Kadashim, and so that's going to trump Toda and El Nazir. Toda ve El Nazir adra b'shlamim kidmu. The Mishnah told us that if it's a question between Toda and El Nazir versus Shlamim, so Toda and El Nazir come first. To which, once again, the Gemara is just challenging. Why doesn't the Shlamim come first? Shekhen Yeshna B'tzibur Kibiyachin. By carbon Shlamim, the general Shlamim, can come either from an individual or it can come from a community. Shal Mitzibur. Now, there aren't that many examples of Shal Mitzibur. In fact, There's only one example of a Shalman Sibor. Rashi over here points out it's a Kivsei Aseres, but still, in other words, there is Shalmei Tzibor, and being that there is Shalmei Tzibor, so why not say that by Shlamim it comes both by Yachid and by Tzibor, so that imbues it with more Kedusha than that of a Tod and El Nazir. Tod and El Nazir are only coming from individuals. The Gemara says, okay, but still, the idea that the Todah and the El Nazir can only be consumed for one day, that's going to be the overriding argument that they have more Kedusha than that of a standard Shlamim. Ibailahu, Todah El Nazir, Ezemem Kodem. Okay, the Gemara now is going to explore another area which was not explored in the Mishnah. What if it's a choice between Todah and El Nazir? So one Kohen has the Todah, the another Kohen has the El Nazir, and which one of them gets Kedimus? So, on one hand, Todah Kadmon Shekentun Adalim Min Lechem. So the Kadmon Todah should come first because it's got four different types of Lechem. Accompanying every Kadmon Todah are 40 loaves made up of 10 different, sorry, made up of, yeah, in other words, 40 loaves, 10 of four different types of menachos, three of them being matzah, one of them, meaning 10 of them being chametz. So, maybe then the Todah should come before the El Nazir because the Todah is composed of four different types. On the other hand, the El Nazir is coming as a package of three separate karbanos. Chatas, Ola, and Shlamim. So maybe the El Nazir should come first because even though it doesn't have the four different types of lechem, but at the same time, it is also complemented with two different other types of karbanos. So the Gemara says, Tashma, so Zuk kodemas azusha zutuna dal mine lechem zuenatuna ela shnei mine lechem. And to this, the Braisa just states very clearly that you're right. In other words, there are competing arguments, but ultimately the argument of four different types of lechem is going to be the overarching argument in terms of establishing which has more Kedusha over what. Okay. Yeah. In other words, the line to the Mizbeach. So we're gonna do Zrikas Adam. So which Zrika of which carbon should go first? So the Kohanim are there and basically, you know, they're waiting the turn for the Mizbeach, and okay. Oh, so you have that carbon, I have this carbon. Okay. And call
pick a number.
take a number. Okay. Ashlamim Kodmim Lebechor. Karmen Shlamim comes before Bechor Adraba Bechor Karmen Shekin Kedusha Somei Rechem V'nechal HaKohanim. So once again, the Gemara is just challenging. How do I know that the Shlamim comes before the Bechor? I can make an argument that the Bechor should come first for two reasons. One, Kedusha Somei Rechem, the congenital Kedusha that comes with the Bechor. Two, is that there are only ones who are allowed to eat the Bechor HaKohanim. Okay. And meanwhile, afilu hachi mitzvah yisera sadifa. The Gemara says, but still Shlamim comes first. And the reason why the Shlamim comes first, quite frankly, is because the Shlamim has all the accessories that we described in yesterday's daf. The Shlamim has nisachim, tenufa chazev ishok. So there is just simply more regarding the Shlamim, and that more regarding the Shlamim, once again, is indicative of the fact that it has more Kedusha. Habachor kodem adarabba maiser kodem shekein mekash lefanav la'acharav. Now, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that Bechor comes before Maiser Behema. The Gemara says, I can challenge that as well. I can make an argument that Maiser Behema should come before Bechor because when it comes to Maiser Behema, not only is the 10th animal imbued with Kedusha, but so are numbers 9 and 11. Now, if you've been with me for a while, you know how 9 and 11 can have Kedusha. And if you don't remember how 9 and 11 can be imbued with Kedusha, so I'm not going to go through it right now. Please forgive me. Right. So but in other words, stay with me through Masechta Becharos, and we're going to go over it a number of times at the end of the Masechta, how not only can the 10th animal be imbued with Kedusha, but 9 and 11 can as well. For our purposes right now, just suffice to say that 9-11 could be imbued with Kedusha, and so therefore, can't we make an argument that Maiser Behem has more Kedusha? Afilu hachi Kedusha so meirechem adifa. The Gemara says, okay, you're right, but still, the fact that the Bechor has Kedusha from the time that it's born, that's still going to be the overarching factor, and that's going to have more Kedusha. Maiser kodem la'ofos, an animal is going to have Kedima over that of a bird. Adrab ofos kadmet sheken kadshe kadashim. Birds should go first because birds are categorically kashya kadashim. As we pointed out yesterday, birds are either chatas or ola. Pick either one. Either one of them falls under the category of kashya kadashim. So shouldn't the bird come before an animal? Afilo hachi min zevach adif. The Gemara says, you're right. Of course you're right. But still, ultimately, the min zevach, the fact that an animal is a kind of zevach, So a zevach has more kedusha, and therefore it has kedima, even though the bird categorically is coming either from an ola or a chatos. I'm Ravina Barshila. Okay. And here we get to the part today that is a little bit tricky. Okay, a little bit of an introduction to the upcoming Gemara. Okay, once something gets elevated to the status of Kachi Kadashim, so two things apply to it. One is that it's subject now to the Isser of Mi'ila. Now, we're not talking about Bedek Abayis. Bedek Abayis has its own set of rules and structures in terms of Mi'ila. We're talking about a carbon. A carbon is going to be subject to Mi'ila, but only when it falls under the category of Kachi Kadashim. So, for example, a carbon Ola. A person now designates an animal as a carbon Ola. So now that animal is subject to Mi'ila. Anyone who benefits from that animal is violating the Isser of Mi'ila. Same thing is true regarding a Chata, same thing is true regarding an Asham, meaning Kachik Adasham, it's subject to Mi'ila. What about a Shlamim? Well, Shlamim is not Kachik Kachim. So in other words, the Shlamim is not subject to Mi'ila. What about the Imurim in the Shlamim? So that is Kachik Kadashim, but only after Zrikas Hadam. Once the blood of a shlamim is sprinkled on the mizbeach, now the imorim are destined to go on the top of the mizbeach. Now the imorim are subject to kachik kadashim status, and therefore eligible for me'ila. Now it's not the kind of eligibility we want, but we get it.
Well, kachik kadashim, there's no zirka dependency. It's
correct.
It's me'ila from the beginning, from the time that they're designated.
Correct. Okay. Absolutely correct. Okay, so that's point number one to take into consideration. Point number two is that, Vis-a-vis the psul of Yotze. So the psul of Yotze. So once something is now considered eligible to be put onto the Mizbeach, so by taking it out of the Azara, it will now be subject to Yotze. The psul of Yotze, the disqualification. Yotza? No. It's just that's a disqualification. It's a psul in of itself. The psul is called Yotze. So, and now obviously, an animal before it shechted, let's make a point that's obvious. Before it shechted, it's not subject to the psul of Yotze, obviously. In other words, it was brought from outside the Azara. It can't be subject to the psul of Yotze. But when you take a carbon shlamim and you bring it into the base of Mikdash and you shecht it in the base of Mikdash, so now, not the meat of the animal, because the meat of the animal could be taken anywhere in the environment of Yerushalayim and eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. I'm talking specifically about the imurim of the animal. So the imurim of the animal, if taken outside of the Azara, are going to be subject to the psul of Yotze. So, what did we just learn together? That when you shecht a carbon shlamim, so now, after the Zrikas Adam, for sure, the imurim now are subject to Mi'ila, and the imurim now are subject to the psul of Yotze. That part's clear. That's the ABCs of our discussion. Okay? Just the basic language in which we converse. Amar Ravina Barshila. With that stated now, so now we're going to see a chiddush. Imuri kachim kachim. Sorry, let me read it correctly. Imuri kachim kalim. Shiyatsu lifnei zrikas damim. Psulim. So if I have the imurim of kachim kalim, that was taken out of the Azara before Zrika, so now it's going to be subject to Psul, it will be disqualified. Now, it's
why?
Why? So, why is always the hardest question. I'm not, why is always where I get stuck. But, now, the Chiddush is really, really strong, because consider, is it now, at this point in time, is it subject to Mi'ila?
No.
And the answer, of course, is no. Because Mi'ila only occurs after Zrikas Adam. Because with Zrikas Adam, then and only then, is it now going to go on the top of the Mizbech. Before Zrikas Adam, it's not going to go on the top of the Mizbech. Obviously, its destiny is that it's going to go on the top of the Mizbech, but currently it's not. So is it subject to Mi'ila? The answer is no. And yet, what Ravina Barshila is telling us as the Chiddush is that even though it's not sensitive to the Mi'ila prohibition, but still, after Shechita, even before Zrikas Adam, it's going to be disqualified with the psul of Yotze. Okay. Now, in terms of why, so...
Where does it get it from?
Huh?
Forget about why. Where does it get it from? What does it support? How does it support his assertion?
Right, right.
He's asking why in a different way.
He's trying to crack me open.
There's a why, Ashkafa why. That's a different situation.
Okay.
I'm talking about the pasuk that supports what he says.
Oh, well, okay, the source. You're talking about the source. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Let's just stay here for a moment. In terms of the split, so we've already encountered this kind of idea before, is that even before a carbon is eligible to be put on the Mizbeach, we've spoken earlier about it receiving certain sensitivities where, even though I can't yet put it on the Mizbeach, but still it will become sensitive enough that it will receive the disqualifications. So that's an idea that we've already expressed earlier. So this split between it's not yet going to go on the Mizbeach because I didn't do Zrikas Adam, but at the same time it's going to be sensitive to the disqualifications of Yotzei, it's not a foreign idea to us. We've seen this idea before. But no, you're right. But in other words, but it's not yet going to be subject to Me'ilah because we haven't sprinkled the blood yet. And only when you sprinkle the blood, then and only then goes on the Mizbeach, and then and only then is it now eligible for Me'ilah. But as far as the Psul Yotzei is concerned, even before Zrikas Adam, V'tana Tuna. Now the Gemara says, now I'm going to support this based on a Braisa. Mimeshu Zevach, V'yeshno Kachi Kachim Dama V'imura. Look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that an animal is going to come before a bird. And the reason why an animal is going to come before a bird is because there's Kachi Kachim parts of an animal, meaning of any animal that shechted. Parts of it are going to go onto the Mizbech, either all of it because it's an Ola, or the imurim, because it's a chatas or nasham, or if it's a shlamim, also imurim. So in other words, by an animal, parts of it are going to go on the mizbeach, and also, so I'm sorry, v'yeshna kachi kachim, dama v'imurav. And the blood and the imurim. Now, bishlam imurim lesnu ba'ofos. Now the Gemara says, one thing I understand, one thing I don't understand. Here's the part I get. As far as the imurim is concerned, yeah, of course. In other words, there are no imurim as it relates to a bird. In other words, remember, our bird is either going to be one of two things. It's either going to be a chatas or an ola. As a chatas, the only thing that goes on the mizbeach is the blood. And that's it. The rest of it goes to the kohen. As far as an ola is concerned, all of it go on the mizbeach, but that's an ola. So in other words, but there's no such thing as the imurim of a bird going on the mizbeach. No such creature. No such entity. So that's fine. So the Gemara says, that contrast I totally understand. But dam mi'aisa. But wait one second. In other words, we're saying that an animal comes before a bird because by an animal you have imurim and you have blood. What do you mean? By a bird you also have blood. In other words, of course, so you do the malik on the bird and the blood is going to be applied to the mizbech. What does that mean that we're contrasting animal and bird because animal has blood and bird doesn't? Of course bird has blood that goes on the mizbech. Elalav kamash malan imurim kidamu. So the Gemara says, kidamo. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah over here is teaching us an incidental point, but incidental to the Mishnah, but very relevant to our discussion. Now we know with the blood, before Zrikas Adam, is the blood subject to Me'ilah? I know that's a funny question, but the answer is yes. Meaning once you shech the animal, that blood now, which is going to be sprinkled on the Mizbech, is now subject to Me'ilah. So that just like that's true regarding the blood, that's also true regarding the Imurim as well. Maybe that's what we can learn from the Mishnah. The Kakarilu Kachi Kadashim. So Madama Mifsal Biyotse, Afimur Mifsal Biyotse. So the Gemara says, and just like blood is subject to the psul of Yotzei, so too imurim are going to be subject to the psul of Yotzei.
But there's no hana by blood to definitionally. So how could you even?
I mean, you could get hana from blood.
Blood
could be used as fertilizer.
Feed
it to animals. Okay, so the the Gemara says this seems seemingly supportive of the din of Ravina. That when I have Imurim, even before Zrikas Adam, it's going to be, it's obviously, I can't put it on the Mizbeach yet, and therefore it's not subject to Me'ilah yet, but it will be subject to the Psul of Yotzei. So, Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, so I think now we could support him also based on another brace as well. Basa Kashim Kalim, Shiyatz Lefnei Zrikas Damim. If I have the meat of Kashim Kalim that left before Zrikas Dam. Now, consider, we're talking about the meat. The meat of Kachim Kalim is not going to be put on the Mizbeach. It's going to obviously be eaten by the owners. However, it was taken out of the Azara before we sprinkled the blood. Rav Yochanan Amar Kasher, Reish Lakish Amar Pasol. Now, there's a machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says Kasher. Rav Yochanan Amar Kasher, Hol Uv Sofalatzis. Now, Rav Yochanan's argument over here seemingly is a great argument. It's a compelling argument. What's going to happen to the meat anyway? We're going to shech the Arshlamim. We're going to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. We're going to take the Imurim and we're going to put it on the on the top of the Mizbeach, and the meat's going to be taken outside of the Azara and eaten within Yerushalayim. So the argument on behalf of Rav Yochanan is, hey, that's where it's going anyway. Okay, so I took it out before Zrika Saddam. It's not a big deal. It's still kosher. Reish Lakish Amar Pasal Adayin Lo Higiyaz Man Latzeis. And Reish Lakish says, okay, I'm not arguing with you, meaning you're right. It's going to be taken out, but you can't take it out yet. You can only take it out after Zrika Saddam. If you took it out before Zrika Saddam, that was too early, and therefore it's going to be disqualified. Now, Adkan Lo Pligela Babasar. Now, over here, the Machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is only regarding the meat of a carbon, Shlamim. Avabi Imurim lo. They're not arguing about the Imurim. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the reason why they're not arguing by the Imurim is because Kule Ame Moda. Everybody agrees that when it comes to the Imurim, if taken out of the Azari even before Zrika Saddam, it's going to be disqualified through Yotze. The Gemara says lo. No, you don't have to learn it that way. Huadin Dibur Nami Pligi. No, they're arguing about Imurim as well. Vahadika Miflagi Babasar. And why are they arguing about me? Lo dicha kocha the Rish Lakish Dafila Basar. The Sofa Latzes. Amar Loigiyaz Mana Latzes. Because over here, we want to accentuate the position of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is taking such a stringent position in that even the meat of Shlamim, which we all know is going to be taken out of the Azara after Zrika Saddam, if it's taken out beforehand, it's going to be disqualified. Again, the argument for Rav Yochanan seems to be a very strong argument, seems to be a compelling argument, and what the Gemara wanted to do over here is that highlight how much Reish Lakish disagrees with Rav Yochanan. Lema Ketanai. The Gemara now is going to suggest that this statement to Ravina may be subject to a Machlokas Tanaim. Again, let's just reiterate. What Ravina has taught us is that by a Shlamim, before sprinkling of the blood, after sprinkling of the blood, the Imurim now are subject to Me'ilah and subject to the Psul of Yotzei, that's clear. Before the sprinkling of the blood, Me'ilah does not set in yet, but yet what he suggests is that after I shech the animal and even before I sprinkle the blood, the Imurim are going to be subject to the Psul of Yotzei. That's the statement to Ravina and Lema Ketanai. Now the Gemara wants to suggest that this is subject to a Machlokas Tanaim, for the following. The Braisa is clearly talking about our very topic. If I have the Imurim of Ishlamim that was taken out before Zrika Saddam, Rabbi Lazar Omer Ein Mawalim Bahem, so Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that it's not subject to Me'ilah, and Rashi over here points out, even after Zrika Saddam, it's not going to be subject to Me'ilah. Why? Because when you sprinkle the blood, you're sprinkling the blood over the carbon. I don't mean physically over the carbon. In other words, over just simply meaning for the sake of the carbon. But when it's a matir for the carbon. When we say you're sprinkling blood for the carbon, which carbon do we recognize? Only that which is in the Azara. Because the Imurim were taken out of the Azara, so the blood, so to say, doesn't recognize it. And because the blood doesn't recognize it, so therefore it's not subject to Me'ilah. Similarly, you're also not going to be subject to the disqualifications of pigel nos v'tame. Now remember, if it was subject to pigel nos v'tame, consumption of it would bring about an iser kares. And because it was outside of the azara at the time of sprinkling, so once again, the sprinkling is not done over anything that's outside. It simply doesn't recognize it. There's no connection. Rabbi Akiva Omer, and Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that it's subject to Me'ilah, it's subject to Pigel Nosavitameh, and Rabbi Akiva clearly is arguing with Rabbi Elazar. That part's clear. Here's the part that's not clear. I took out the Imurim before Zrika's Dam. And then exactly when did I bring, if in fact I brought it back in, when did I bring it back in? My la bedahadar ailainu pligi, uveha pligi. De mar savar mifsale biyotze, mar savar lo mifsale biyotze. So the Gemara is now suggesting like this. Aren't we talking about a case where I took it out before Zrika Saddam, and then I brought it back in again. And then I actually sprinkled the blood. And isn't the debate over here now between these Tanaim, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Akiva, is that even though I took it out before Zrika Saddam, but what Rebbe Eliezer will argue is, hey, you took it out, psul yotze, done. Discussion over. And what Rebbe Akiva is arguing is no. In other words, I know I took it out of the Azar, but we haven't sprinkled the blood yet. We'll just simply bring it back in. I'll sprinkle the blood, and everything's good. So lichora, that's the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva. But if we're right the way we just set it up, comes out now that Ravina is saying something that is debated amongst the Tanaim, and also what makes this position now difficult is that it goes against the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So my love, the hadar ailinu pligi v'ha pligi the marsav Rabbi Mifsla biyotze marsav lo Mifsla biyotze. So Amar Rapapa, the hadar ailinu kolam lo pligi. So Rapapa says no, you don't have to explain the brisa that way. In fact, I choose not to explain the brisa that way. If the Imorim were taken out but then immediately brought back in again, so there is no debate. We are going to say at that point in time that it is going to be good. We are discussing a scenario where the Imurim were taken outside and they were kept outside during Zrikas Adam. Mar Savar, no, this is just location. This is an issue of location. Mar Savar, Ein Zrika Mo'elas Liyotze. And so what Rabbi Eliezer will tell you is like this. Look, sprinkling is going to be a matir, but only for those things which are in the Azara. Anything outside of the Azara, Zrika does not do anything for it. And Mar Savar Zrika Mo'elas Liyotze. And Rabbi Kiva will tell you that the Zrika will be effective even for those parts that were taken out. Okay. And therefore make those parts that were taken out fall under the umbrella of Zrika. And so therefore, even though the Imurim were outside of the Azara at the time of Zrika, what Rabbi Kiva is arguing, based on Rav Papa's explanation is that the Zrika was effective even for the Imurim that were outside. Now, keep this...
Are you saying that they're present when their Zrika was done?
No. Okay. They were present. They were not in the Azara. They're outside of the Azara while Zrika was done. The original suggestion of the Gemara is that were taken out and they were returned. That was the original suggestion. Rav Papa now is changing that. Rav Papa is saying that both are in agreement that if it was taken out and brought back in, we're fine. We're talking about a scenario where it was taken out and kept out during Zrika Saddam. Rabbi Eliezer's contention, this is all Rav Papa's explanation. Rabbi Eliezer's contention is that Zrika only recognizes anything inside the Azara, not anything outside the Azara. Zrika will not be matir. Anything outside the Azara won't change the status of anything outside the Azara. And Rabbi Kiva argues. Now, when we think about Rabbi Kiva's position, so consider it is strange in that Zrika will not only include those things in the Azara, but it will also include those things outside the Azara as well. Now, when we say it includes those things outside the Azara, meaning it's outside the Azara now, meaning it's the psul of Yotze. What Rabbi Kiva is now saying, again, we're just trying to process what Rabbi Kiva is saying. What Rabbi Kiva is now saying is, even though it has a psul of Yotze, it also now will be subject to Mi'ila, Pigel, Nosar, Tameh, meaning that because Rabbi Akiva allows for Zrika to affect that which is in and that which is outside, even though that which is outside can't be offered on the Mizbeach, but still now will gain eligibility for all your major psulim, all your major disqualifications.
But Pigel, you have to be able to carry out everything accordingly, but if it's been taken out, you cannot.
As far as the Dam is concerned, you could still do it correctly.
But you cannot do anything with the...
As long as the Avodah Saddam is done correctly, so then Pigel takes place. Pigel transpires.
But the thing that... But for Pigel to kick in, you have to go from the entire... All the steps, not just the...
All the steps of the blood.
But you have to also eat it, no?
No.
You have to consume it to get card.
We're just talking about creating Pigel. Yeah. You're confusing the eating of Pigel versus the creation of Pigel. For the creation of Pigel, you have to do the Matir Kimitzvaso. Matir meaning blood. The blood is inside.
But the thing is, for Pigel to be enforced for you to get Karet, right? You have to eat it actually.
That's a later point in time. That's the consumption of Pigel.
There's your.
Okay, let's table the discussion.
It goes this close with Rabbi Akiva, right? It goes with Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer.
Yes. So Vahara Papa Udamar Gemara says, okay, so we have now just explained the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer based on Rabbi Papa's explanation. Being that's the case now, it no longer poses any kind of question on Ravina. The Gemara just has one more loose end to tie in this topic, and that is Vahara Papa Udamar Bidi Isnu Avrai Kulam Lo Pligi Bidi Ailin Legavai Pligi. So the Gemara says, now we know Rav Papa has a similar point regarding the Shtei Alechem. Now let's just go over this. The Shtei Alechem that's offered on Shavuos. There are two loaves of bread on Shavuos that are offered. Again, an unusual presentation of a mincha in that the shtei alechem that's offered on Shavuos is made up of chametz, not matzah. But that's menachos discussion. We'll talk about that later. The shtei alechem, you do not take the kamitza of the shtei alechem, but rather, with the kivsei atzeres, with the lambs that are brought on Shavuos, once they are offered, they serve as the matir for the shtei alechem. Where do the shtei alechem have to be at the time when you're offering the kivsei atzeres? You guessed it correctly. They have to be in the azara. Rav Papa says, "Bid the isnu avrei kolam lo pligi, bid the ailinu legavai pligi." That if the bread is outside, there is no debate. It's not, in other words, the kivsei atzeres cannot affect the bread that's outside the azara. This is Rav Papa talking. If the bread is taken out and brought it back in again, so we have a machlokas. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? As opposed to what Rav Papa said regarding the imurim, you take it out, you bring it back in again before Zvika Saddam, you're good. But meanwhile, when it comes to the shtei alechem, Rav Papa just taught us that if you take it out and you bring it back in again, subject to a machlokas. Well, the Gemara says, how can I look at Rav Papa's two statements and make synthesis between the two? The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "Hani mili." I'm sorry, "Legavai pligi." Hani mili gabi shtei alechem delav gufei dezvicha. Aval imorim de gufei dezvicha hu b'deisnu avrai pligi. So the Gemara says, "Okay, we'll make the following distinction. When it comes to the shtei alechem, so it's true. The two kvasim of Shavuos, which serve as a matir for the shtei alechem. So it's true that there is connection, but they're not one entity. In other words, it's not one singular body. It's animals and it's two loaves of bread." And so there, because the connection already is not an intrinsic connection, they're not organically the same, so therefore, we're going to be more strict in terms of the rules of, they have to be in the same environment. Meaning that the shtei alechem have to be in the azara the entire time, at least according to one opinion. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the imurim are literally, organically part of the animal. And so therefore, when it comes to the imurim, if they were taken out of the azara, but they were brought back in again before Zvika Saddam, so Rav Papa says there's no argument. It's fine. Only when they were taken out of the azara and remain out of the azara, then and only then do we have a debate, because there is more of an organic connection between the imurim and the animal versus the shtei alechem and the kivsei atzeres. Let's continue in the Gemara. We are on Tzadi Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots Ofos Kodmin. Birds come before. Ad Rabba Minachos Kodmin Shekain Yeshtem Betzibur Kebi Yachid. Once again, pushback by the Gemara. Mincha should come before an Of, because when it comes to a Mincha, we know that Minachos can come both from an individual and from a Tzibur. Again, there are not that many Minachos that come from a Tzibur. The Omer on the second day of Pesach, the Shtei HaLechem, and I guess Rashi doesn't say this, but you could make an argument that the lechem upon him as well. I don't know about that one. But I'll stay with...
Is it because they're mincha, the lechem upon him?
Yeah. We touched on that earlier. So but in other words, I'll stay with Rashi. The Omer, the Shtei Alechem, those are menachos that are tzibur menachos. So the Gemara says, you know, when it comes to a mincha, can come individual and it can come sibor. When it comes to an oaf, those birds can only come from individuals. There is no entity. There is no institution of birds coming from the sibor. Nothing. So the Gemara says, afilachim in edam adifa. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. But still, ultimately, when it comes to birds, since there's blood of the bird that's going to be sprinkled in the mizbeach, that's indicative of the fact that it has more kedusha. Minchas chote v'chule adarabe minchas nadav v'kod me'esh shekein to'una shemen levona. If I have now a choice between the mincha of a sinner versus a voluntary mincha, so the Mishnah taught us that the voluntary mincha should come. Sorry, the mincha of the sinner should come first because that's providing kapara. What the Gemara now is asking is, well, wait one second. A donated mincha has oil and it has lavona. So the Gemara says, "Afilu hachi minchas chote abal achid adifa demechaperes." The Gemara says, "Okay, but still." The argument of the mincha being mechaper is a stronger argument vis-a-vis kedusha, and therefore it comes first. Ibai lehu. Mincha sota, mincha snada, ve'ezem em kodemes. Okay. The mincha of a sota and the mincha of a nedava. Which one of them come first? Now, the mincha of a sota, it's a really interesting mincha. Is it providing a kapara? No. In other words, what the purpose of the mincha of the sota is to clarify. It's to clarify whether or not she was with the man when she was with the man. if you understand. So the so now, if it's a mincha, that's mechaper, all the menachos that are mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra, for the Ola V'Yored, where the person is really in an impoverished state and cannot offer an animal chatas, and can't even offer afford a bird chatas, so we'll bring a minchas chatas. Fine. So, but that mincha is there to be mechaper, and for sure that's going to come before your standard mincha. But what about the mincha of the sota? So, mincha sota, mincha snedav, ezem en kodemus, mincha snedav, kod meshek en tun Hashem elavona. So, on one hand, the standard mincha, the voluntary mincha, has together with it oil and frankincense. Odoma mincha sota, kod meshek en ba'al levarer avon. On the other hand, the mincha of the sota maybe should come first because it's there to clarify. And because it's there to clarify, maybe that speaks to the idea that it has more kedusha. So, it's an obligation only because of circumstances that occurred. Right. Okay. So Tashma, Minchas Chote Kodemus, the Minchas Nedava. The Mincha of the Chote comes before the Minchas Nedava. And again, what the Gemara is going to do, like we did yesterday, is a critical reading of the Mishnah. Minchas Chote de Karmel Minchas Nedava, Ha Minchas Sota, Lo. So seemingly what the Mishnah is telling us is that only the Minchas Chote comes before the Minchas Nedava, but not the Minchas Sota. So Miketani Mimneshu Mechapers Mimneshu Ba'al Chet. The Gemara says, but read the Mishnah even more carefully. The Mishnah says that the Minchas Chote comes first because Ba'al Chet, it's coming over a sin. Truth of the matter is, the Minchas Sota is coming over a sin. Now again, it's not providing kapara, that part's understood. But if it's up to critical reading of the Mishnah says Ba'al Chet. Mincha Sota is Ba'al Chet. So the Ketani.
But the Chet has not been established. It's to be established.
No, she did bad.
The reason that she's being to that's to determine that she's bad or not, I don't know. There's
she
a suffix
is,
there.
Yeah, I understand there's a suffix. And it's
the whole purpose of Mincha is to clarify the status.
It's a, she, there's an... Until clarification, she's usher to her husband.
But that's a suspension. That's not a...
It's an isser. She's usher to her husband until clarification. So, Ba'al Chet, Ketani Vahanami, Ba'al Chet, Tashma. Zekademus Azusha, Zubam Minachitim, Zubam Minasaorim. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Brisa says that a mincha that comes from wheat is going to come before a mincha that comes from barley. Now, the barley mincha, there are not that many out there. There are only two barley minchas. Again, this is Menachos talk, but you know, coming here in Zvachim, so the so there's only two carbonas that are coming from barley, the Omer and the Sota. Okay, so my lav minchas nedava la minchas Sota. Presumably, what's meant over here is as follows: wheat mincha, which is wheat mincha. Most every mincha is a wheat mincha, but presumably we're talking about a minchas nedava, which is going to come in front of the minchas Sota. So the Gemara says, "Lo minchas chote la minchas sota." So the Gemara says, "No, maybe that's not the pshat in the brisa. Maybe the pshat in the brisa is that when it says wheat, it means wheat, but also chote. That could potentially be the pshat in the brisa. And so, therefore, all we're saying now is that the mincha of a chote comes before the mincha of a sota. So typically, da mechaperes v'alam mechaperes. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but then, what is determining that the chote comes before that of the sota?" So the Gemara says, "I don't understand. Don't give me wheat barley." I understand wheat is qualitatively better than barley, but one is actually providing kapara and the other one is just clarifying. So ve'elamai minchas nedava, typically dezeh tun Hashem and levona v'zeh tun Hashem and levona. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go back to the pshat that you didn't like. So maybe we're talking about a standard nedava mincha over that of a sota. So the Gemara says, so why are you telling me that this one is wheat and that one's barley? You can also add to the point that your standard nedava mincha has oil and Lavona, and your Sota does not. So the Gemara says, Alechami try Temenaka. The Gemara says, okay, look, the Bryce over here is just giving us the basics. The Bryce is not giving us every single detail. The Bryce is there just simply highlighting some of the distinctions, but there are other distinctions as well.
The thing is, but the Michos, what happened to the principle of Tadir or Shemot Tadir? But like the
Michos, we'll get to that. The Gemara later on is going to challenge what happens when the two values. The two values intersect. That comes up later. Chatas of kedemus man minani mili. So the chatas.
Nedava or sota.
In terms of a conclusion.
Yeah.
Not sure. I'm not sure. Chatas of Kodemus. Menahan emili tan rabbanan. Okay. At the end of Parshas Vayikra, which we've recited again and again, so the Torah over there, lists a number of averos where it's a carbon ola v'yarid, meaning it's a chatos, but fluctuates based on the person's economic status. The Torah says v'yikriv es asher l'chatos rishona. The Torah over there says that in any time that you bring a chatos and an ola, so the Torah says chatos comes first. So v'yikriv es, I'm sorry. But the fact that the Torah has to go out of its way and say the chatas is first, look, you go on and you read on, and it says that the ola is second. Ela zebanaav. What the Torah over here is creating is your classic binyan av. This sets the precedent. L'chol chatoshik demula ola. Habaosi mahem. That any time you have a package deal of chatas and ola, the chatus precedes the ola. Bein chatus of la losa of. Now, over here, it does not matter now what type it is. Meaning, if it's a pair of birds, chatus comes before ola. Bein chatus behema la olas behema. If it's a pair of animals, chatus comes before an ola. And vafilu chatus of la olas behema. And even if it's bird animal. Now, I know back in the Mishnah we said that bird animal always comes before bird. But we're talking about bundled carbonos. We're talking about packaged carbonos. In a packaged carbon presentation, so then the chatas is going to come in front of a chatas bird is going to come in front of an ola animal. So you're wondering.
What's that combination you actually have?
You're wondering. So where does that happen? Where I'm going to have a bird animal combination, and the answer is a woman gave birth.
All right.
Woman gives birth. Parshas Tazria, beginning of Parshas Tazria. So the Torah says that after she finishes her tahara, 40 days for a boy, 80 days for a girl, so then she's going to bring karbana. So v'mlos yimei tahara levena levas tavi keves ben shenaso la'ola uben yona utor lechatas. Now, first of all, by the way, we'll catch this point a little bit later in the Gemara. The Torah over here first presents the ola and then the chatas. Okay. We'll come back to that. So keves ben shenaso la'ola uben yona utor lechatas. El pesach omar yin elakoin. So the krivol if Hashem v'chiper alav v'tara mimkor damez zos toras yolaz zechal nekeva. So here the Torah says that Yeshi brings a animal as an ola and a bird as a chatos. Good. V'im lo simsa yada deisa. Now if this woman can't afford an animal, v'lachash deisarim ushne b'nei yona echel ola v'echal lechatos. Then she'll bring a pair of birds, one as an ola and the other as a chatos. V'chiper alav kohen v'tahira. Now you noticed already. I already made the point that the Torah there mentions Ola before Chatos, but the point right now is that we have a binyanav, that Chatos comes before Ola, and whenever you have bundled carbonos, like over here by the woman who gave birth, Chatos always comes before Ola. So the Chol Chatos Shiktim Ola, Bosi Mahen, I read all that. Hilkach. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, summary. Chatos Ola Ola Sof, Mivi Es Hasheni. The chatas bird over the ola bird, meaning in terms, when I say over, I mean precedence. So that is learned from the words v'es hasheni. Chatas behema, lolas behema, midirabi rachmana. Chatas animal over an ola animal, so that is from the fact that there's a ribui. And then chatas of lolas behema, mizebana av. And the chatas bird coming before the ola bird, that's a binyanav. Okay, tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so far so good. When there's a package carbon of Ola Chatas, we have just learned together that Chatas always comes before Ola, and type of carbon is totally a non-factor. So in other words, even if the bird is the Chatas is a bird, and the Ola is an animal, Chatas Ola. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we consider the following? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kol Makom Sh'nischaf Chatas, Chatas Kodemes, Vikan Ola Kodemes. Okay. What we're doing basically over here in three different ways is we're contrasting a package, a bundle carbon for others, for other averos, versus a woman who gave birth. And basically, in three different ways, what Rabbi Eliezer is about to say is that, you know, when it comes to the woman who gave birth, the ola comes first. And the obvious question is, but we just learned that's not true. We just learned that the chatas comes first. Okay, so, kol makom sh'nischafa chatas, chatas kodemes, v'kan, ola kodemes. Here, meaning regarding the woman who gave birth, the ola comes first. When it normally comes for a chet, so the chatas comes first, but here by the woman, the ola comes first. When two are serving as replacement for one, so the chatas comes first. But here, the ola comes first. So basically three different ways, what Rabbi Eliezer is telling us is that by the woman who gave birth, the ola comes first. The obvious problem is that we just learned previously that that's not true. Amar Rava lemikrasa higdima akasav. So Rava gives an answer. Quite frankly, it's hard to understand, but I'll say it like Rashi. Lemikra higdima akasav shetei nikras beinyan tchila. When you're reading the psukim, so here's how you're going to read it. You're going to read that first is the ola and then there's a chatas. But when you're actually offering it, chatas kodemes kida amrinan mizebana av.
What's the source for that?
Now, if I may just repackage your question, what would be our other option? Meaning, we know because we have learned now the Torah Shebaal Peh. We know that the chatas comes before the ola, and then we have considered that when reading the Torah. So the Baal Kori says to himself, well, I know the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Tzadi. All right, I went through the 10th parak of Zvachim. I know that the Chatas really comes before the Ola. So you know what I'll do? I'll just read the Psukim in a manner in which it's going to actually be done. Meaning, so what the Gemara now is saying is that, no, when you read it, so you're going to be reading you'll read it in the way that's presented in the Torah. Tosfos on the top of the last Tosfos on the Amud, Perish Bekuncha Shetei Nikras Binyan Tchila V'Tema Ma Chidesh Uzeh. Tostos asks wonderfully and succinctly, what exactly would you have thought otherwise? See Tostos, see the continuation of Tostos for another possible suggestion in terms of what the Gemara means by that. But in other words, let's conclude, and this is certainly the conclusion, is that when it comes to the woman who's given birth, she's going to be bringing either a bird animal or a bird, depending on her economic status, but the Chatos is going to come before the Ola. Binyan Av, we have a general rule that when you have a Ola and a Chatas packaged, bundled together, Chatas comes before the Ola. Tashma. Parm kodmim la'elim ve'elim kodmim le'kvasim kvasim le'si'irim. So here we have a Brisa, and the Brisa says that bull before ram, ram before sheep, sheep before goat. The simple explanation of the Brisa is... Right. Thank you. The simple explanation of the Brisa is that size matters. So my lav dechag. Now the Gemara, we don't have a
size or cost.
I mean,
it can't be cost.
Sounds like size. Okay. The Gemara right now is going to suggest we're on the top of Tzadim and Beis. My lav dechag. That we're talking about the carbonates that are brought on Yontif. Now, if that's true, let's think about this. The seer on Yontif is coming as what kind of carbon? A chatas. And it's last on the list. Now, didn't we just learn together that when bundling carbonos together, carbonos are brought as a package, which on Yontif, that's in fact the case, so shouldn't the seer now make it number one to the list because the seer is a chatas? That is what's called a problem. So the Gemara says, well, then the Dava. No, Gemara says, no, you're misreading the Brisa. The Brisa over here is not talking about Yontif. The Brisa is talking about voluntary offerings. Meaning if there's a line around the Mizbeach about all involving voluntary carbonos, they're not packaged carbonos. One's got a ram, the other one's got a bull, the other one's got a sheep, the fourth one's got a goat. So then let's go in the order of size. So the Gemara says, Parm kod Malaylam Shekin Mizraba Minasachim. Now Parm come first because, now it's interesting. We said, and I like the pshat, that size matters, but the Gemara also adds other factors as well. When it comes to the pars, so the pars got the most amount of nesachim, right? The Torah repeats this like mantra, the shlishis ahin, right? Revias ahin, I'm sorry, chatzi ahin, shlishis ahin, revias ahin, right? How much of a hin of oil do you need to bring? How much of a hin of wine do you need to bring? And for the bull, it's the most amount. It's the half a hin. Now, and the same thing is true regarding Elam over Kvasim. Kvasim over Seirim. Now, this one's a little bit tougher because same amount of Nesachim, same volume of Nesachim, but Shekin Nisrabu Ba'alya. But when it comes to the Kvasim, Kvasim's got one edge over the Seir. That's the tail. a tail of a keves goes on the mizbeach, so that's more for the mizbeach. That puts the keves just a little bit above the seer. Tashma parkom mashiach konim lapar helam davishol seibor parhelam davishol seibor konim lapar avodis kochavim par avodis kochavim konim lasiirei avodis kochavim. So, in a most unusual circumstance, we discussed this back in Horios, where there's a line of the par of the Kohen Gadol with a parhelam davishol seibor. Now, these are brought under the most unusual of circumstances, like we discussed extensively back in Horios. The idea that there's a line of these karbanos going to the Mizbeach is more it's more conceptual than it is practical, but still. So, par kohen Mashiach konen lapar helam davishol sibar, par helam davishol sibar konen lapar avodis kochavim, par avodis kochavim konen lasiirei avodis kochavim. The af agav, and now the brisa continues, the af agav, the par avodis kochavim ola v'siirei avodis kochavim chatas. Sorry, this is not the continuation of the brisa, this is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, now look, the par of avodah zara is an ola, the siir of the avodah zara karban is a chatas, and the ola is coming in front of the chatas, and doesn't that defy the binyanav that we started off with? So the Gemara says, okay, but in the beginning of the Braisa, didn't that offend us as well? That the par helam davishol sibra should come before the par of avodas kochavim? So the Gemara says, bechad mia mia lo karminan, dechatas kadma. So the Gemara says, look, when it's the same type of animal, so that for sure the chatas comes first. Ki karminan betray mine. Ashkechan ola dekad melechatas, but by trei minim, meaning like we discussed in the Binyan Av, right? Bird versus animal. If the bird is the chatas, so the bird comes in front of the animal. So over here, trei minim, two different types of animal. One is a par and the other is a seir. The par is an ola, the seir is a chatas, and the par is coming in front of in front of the chatas. The par ola is coming in front of the seir chatas. And again, what we said on the previous, on the Amud Aleph of today, is that when bundled, when packaged, the chatas always comes in front of the ola. Amri b'ma'arava mishmei d'arava bar'mari chatas avodas kochavim chaser aleph. So the Gemara says, open up to Parsha Shlach. Look at the way the Torah actually spells out the karbanos of avodah zarah. By the way, I didn't make this point clear. The seir and par of avodah zarah that we're describing is, in the event that the community was ovid avodah zarah based on an erroneous ruling of Beis Din, so there is a special carbon that's brought. And oddly enough, by the way, the carbonos are not mentioned in Vayikra, where the unique carbon chatases are presented, but it's mentioned in Parsha Shlach. Okay, for Parshanim to explain. But in other words, but there, even as you're going into Parsha Shlach and you're looking at the Pesukim over there, so you will see that the word chatas is spelled without an aleph. Unusual. So the Gemara says ksiv. And as a result of that, that tells us that bucks the trend. The trend is that when you have bundled karbanos together, when you have packaged karbanos together, chatas comes in front of ola, always, always. Even if the chatas is a bird and the ola is an animal, chatas in front of ola. But here, when it comes to avodah zarah, flip it. Flip it that the ola comes in front of the chatas. And how do I know that it's a rule breaker? Because of the missing aleph. And I'll add as just something cute. And the aleph is taken out because it's no longer the primary, meaning it's no longer number one. That's just for the purposes of being cute, as a mnemonic aid. It's not really there as being the source. Ravina Amar Kimishpatam Ksiv Behu. So the You'll see why I made that mistake. Ravina Amar Kimishpat Ksiv Behu. So Ravina says, well, no, if you, meaning, yes, it's a rule breaker, but not because of the missing aleph, but the Torah there in Parsha Shlach says kemishpat, meaning kemishpat means we're presenting it olachatas, and that's the way you're offering it, olachatas. Now, the Gemara says, great. Now that we have the word mishpat telling us that when the Torah gives us a bundle of karbanos to offer, and the Torah then also adds the words kemishpat, or in the case of Yantif, kemishpatam, that tells me that you're going to bring the karbanos in the order that's laid out over here, even though that doesn't follow our normal standard procedure. Standard procedure is that chatas comes in front of ola. But when the Torah lays out a different order, stamped with either the word mishpat or mishpatam, so then I follow the order that's actually written in the Torah. That's the Gemara suggestion over there. Ibailahu, yeah, let's just quickly run to the next Mishnah. Ibailahu chazatov valos behema meiser ezamem kodem. Okay, the Gemara is going to play a game of chess. Okay, really a fantastic game of chess. I have a chatas bird, an ola animal, and meiser behema, and the three of them now are standing in line to be offered. Which one comes first? So tiktum chatas of. So the Gemara says, okay. So as we already learned, the chatas comes before the ola, but wait 1 second. The Gemara says, ikam meiser dekadam la. Yeah, but the meiser behema comes before the ola. Remember, the meiser behema is going to come before the chatas bird, because remember, the only time that chatas bird comes before ola animals when they're bundled together, but the meiser behema is not bundled. So in other words, the meiser behema now is going to trump the chatas bird. So the Gemara says, okay, so lick the meiser. So the Gemara says, okay, but bring the meiser animal. So the Gemara says, ikam olas behema dekad malay. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's an ola animal over there, and the ola animal is going to come before the meiser. Ola is kashya kadashim, the meiser is only kashya kalam. So the Gemara says, take them ola behema. So the Gemara says, okay, so offer the ola animal first. So the Gemara says, no, ika chatas ha'ov, dekad malah. No, but I have the chatas bird, and I can't put the ola animal in front of the chatas bird. Meaning, again, we're assuming now that they're bundled together. So basically now, stalemate.
You're zigzagging for different.
Correct. So in other words, so stalemate. So now, what do we do? So hachatar gima min zevachadif. So here in Bavel, right, everything is perspective. So over here, meaning in Bavel, so the way we resolve this stalemate is zevach. Meaning that the Maiser Behema should come first, because the Maiser Behema is a carbon, it's a zevach. So that's the one that should come first. Then Marava Amri. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they say it a little bit differently. Ayla ba'olos behema bechatzas ova agbasa mimaiser. So that the ola animal should come first. The ola animal should come first. But there's the chatas. So the Gemara says, okay, but the ola is more significant than that of meiser, because the ola is kodesh kadashim and the meiser is only kachy kalim. So the and so therefore, put the ola animal first, even though there's a chatas bird there. But in other words, but the chatas bird is going to be, so to say, blocked by the meiser behema animal. I can't bring the chatas bird there because I have the meiser behema there first. So ultimately, the ola bird is going to be the winning move in terms of which one should go first. Okay.